Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Mandy Bass of freespeakerbureau.com, where meeting organizers connect with guest speakers for their events. With me today is Laurie Nash Byron, who is the founder of Famous in Your Field, where professionals build powerful brands and become standout stars in their industries. So I'm sure you're as excited as I am to hear what Laurie is going to share with us today, because since 2010, she's actually been teaching professionals how to harness the power of influence, how to market themselves and to get publicity for themselves so that they become known as experts and leaders. She's spoken for numerous national conferences and been quoted internationally in media outlets. In fact, I believe that I first knew of Laurie through an article in Fortune magazine. I'm sure she's going to have a fantastic giveaway to give you at the end of the show. So please stay tuned. Laurie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mandy. I'm delighted to be here as part of the Free Speakers Bureau podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, Laurie, I know that before you started Famous in Your Field, you had a corporate job. I'd love to know what made you leave corporate America to start Famous in Your Field. But before you do that, I want to know something about the corporate job that you had in the first place.
Yes, I've been in the marketing realm for almost 20 years now, for different types of organizations, for a large national bank, for a software company, for professional services. But then in 2010, when the economy was in such terrible shape, especially in Michigan, where I'm based, I actually quit a perfectly good job in order
Oh
to
my
work for
word.
myself. Yes. Just being in marketing for that long, marketing's a pretty broad field. There are a lot of different aspects to it. And I think, as anyone does, you get more experience and you really get a feel for what lights you up inside, what you love to do. And for me, it was helping people stand out. There are so many people that I've worked with through different companies, different organizations that have just brilliant knowledge that can really help other people. And I love to work with them to help them become better known. So that part of it is really exciting for me, helping someone become known as the leader or expert in their industry. And the tools that I like to use most are speaking, just like you. Publishing articles, blog posts, things like that, and being mentioned in the media.
Oh, that's great. That is the way to be an expert. And it's difficult to stand out. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges that coaches and entrepreneurs have is figuring out how to stand out, how to differentiate themselves from everybody else doing the same thing. So a lot of professionals, I mean, everybody wants to be famous in their field, of course, whether you're a psychotherapist or an engineer, or it doesn't matter, a coach, no matter what you are, you want to stand out. A CPA, it really doesn't matter. You've got to stand out for people to know who you are. So why do some people succeed and others not?
Oh, I think that's really interesting. I think a lot of people, even if they view themselves as confident, they have some mental roadblocks, some limiting beliefs that keep them, that hold them back in certain ways. Sometimes when I'm doing a speaking engagement around becoming famous in your field, I have people do a certain exercise where I read off different limiting beliefs or different thought patterns and ask people to stand up or raise their hand if they've ever experienced that. And every time, almost the whole room is standing up at different points. They've had certain roadblocks or limiting beliefs. And what's so funny is that people have even come to me a few weeks or a few months after one of these events and said, you know, I didn't stand up when you did this exercise because I thought I was totally confident about everything, but this thing just happened to me recently that made me recognize that I had a limiting belief in a certain area that was holding me back from doing something I really wanted to do. And
wow.
that's happened with me too. So
what would you give us some ideas about for the people that are listening, our speakers who are listening, who may be feeling like they're not making the most of their potential? What are some of the typical types of beliefs that you find that block people from really reaching their potential?
I think a big one is comparing ourselves to other people. So comparing ourselves to someone who we feel does something similar, but is somehow better. And the big drawback in making a comparison is when you feel someone else already sort of has ownership of a certain idea or a certain topic, it's hard for you to want to go out and really promote yourself around that idea or topic.
So how do you, if that applies to somebody listening today, how do you work around that? How do you address that?
I advise people to look at a couple of different things. I've noticed that we, all of us, tend to devalue our own skills and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the things that really come easy to us, we discount. We think, oh, well, everybody's really good at explaining something in really simple terms, or everyone knows how to do this certain thing that I can do, therefore it's not special.
Right.
But when you can take an inventory of the thing, of your skills and abilities, those things that come so easily to you, those are things that you can then add to your expert portfolio in a sense. So for me, something that I really love to do is read and gather information and ideas and resources. And it's something that it just comes so naturally. It's hard for me to even believe that other people don't want to do that or can't do that. And so, but my friends always tell me if I need, you know, a resource for to do a certain thing, I always ask you. You always know. And so it is a skill, even though it's something I love that comes really easily.
Yeah, and I think we do undervalue the things that come naturally to us, and I think that's great advice to take a look at those things that we do naturally. I also think that a lot of times we think that somebody dominates or owns a particular target market, when in fact there's so much room for all of us. I mean, everybody resonates with different types of people. And there's room for a lot of, for example, relationship coaches or business coaches or marketing people or CPAs, and the people's different personalities and what they bring to the table are going to attract a different type of person. So sometimes we also think that the market is just, you know, so saturated, but if we can carve a particular niche for ourselves, then it becomes so much easier. So do you think if people, anybody, if they break down their belief barriers, that they can actually find a way to become famous in their field if they have the expertise?
I think breaking through your own belief barriers, and I think there's the second part, and that's to try to get over focusing on yourself, and that's very easy to say and very hard to do. But the best way to do that, to get over thinking about yourself and worrying about those limiting beliefs, is to focus on your mission, whatever that is, or your message. So if you're a CPA, you probably feel pretty passionately about, let's say, small businesses being able to survive and thrive. Therefore, if you come at it from a service orientation, that what you have is really important and valuable and other people need to hear about it, then I think it helps to eliminate or get over a lot of the limiting beliefs. by focusing on your mission, your message.
Right, right. So how did you get your start speaking, and what impact has it had on your business?
It has had a tremendous impact. It's funny, my start in speaking, my big breakthrough came about purely because I was so jealous of someone else that I submitted myself for a really big opportunity and got it. When I was in my corporate job, I was watching a colleague get invited to speak at panels and different events, and I'll be honest, I was just eaten up with envy because I wanted to be out sharing my knowledge through speaking. So one day I learned that my industry was having a national conference and they had a call for speakers. And prior to that, I had never submitted myself because I thought I wasn't ready for it. They would want someone who has much more experience, you know, who worked for a company of thousands instead of hundreds, all these things. But because I was envious, I went ahead and applied, and I got it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I ended up speaking at this national conference. You know, there were over 1,000 people attending, and
That was your first speaking opportunity?
It was probably my
people?
Second. It was probably actually my second, because once I got that, then a local group wanted me to do that talk first. But it was nerve-wracking, absolutely. But it was such a great opportunity and such a turning point, because I was there speaking and someone in the audience immediately approached me afterwards and said, I loved what you talked about, because I talked about a certain type of marketing, a way to approach it. And he asked me if I consulted. I said, oh, sure, yes, I do. And within a couple of months, he had hired me for a significant contract. So I was able to leave my corporate job and start working for myself. So that one speaking opportunity changed everything for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a great story. And so what were you speaking on at the time?
I was speaking about a particular marketing approach that uses content marketing, which wasn't a well-known term then, but it's all about writing articles and understanding how people search for information and how you can use that to make yourself stand out. So it was the seeds of being famous in your field.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, you know, one thing that people don't really realize, you know, there's a lot of conversation with speakers about whether to do free speaking or paid speaking or whatever. But in this day and age, I think it's very important to realize that content is king, as you know, they say, and not to overuse a cliche, but it's very important. There's so much content on the web, so much content available. And really, when we get out and do a free speaking a gig or something like that, it's really just another way to deliver content. But the great thing about getting out in person, if you can do it, is that you become 80, I was looking at the stats the other day, 85% more influence. You have 85% more influence on people who actually see you live. Because when we try, a lot of times, you know, we sit behind our computers and rely on email communication and video chat and whatever to communicate with. But in fact, the best way to really build trust is for people to see you live and in person. So, you know, speaking is just another way to get out content and build your expertise, just like writing articles. But the great thing about it is that people get to see you live and in person. What are some ways that you see that professionals can actually use free speaking opportunities to grow their business? The kinds of people that we're talking about really aren't necessarily interested in becoming professional speakers, though they may entertain the idea at some point. But really, what are some ways that you see people growing their business through speaking?
Oh, I want to actually go back to something you just said, because it's so powerful, Mandy. And it's something that I talk about too. So we're both generally, you know, talking about the people, as you mentioned, who necessarily see themselves as full-time paid professional speakers. They're people who are using speaking as a tool to gain clients or customers for their business to make themselves stand out in some way. And speaking is such a great tool for that, just for the reason that you mentioned, because an audience then gets a real feel for that person. They get to know that person and like them and trust them. You know, one speaking opportunity can be equivalent to a dozen networking events and lunches. It gets
Absolutely.
You so much further. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I always say that speaking is great because it helps professionals change the dynamic. Often when you go to a networking event or you call someone up and ask for an appointment, you know, the person that you're talking to is wary. They're on guard. They're expecting
right.
you to sell them something. But when you're speaking, you're in a sense, you're teaching, you're sharing your information. And so the dynamic has changed completely. They trust you. They get to know you. It really compresses that sales process.
Exactly. And they see you, they have all the social proof, all their friends, their associates are all watching you as well. So you have all the social proof that they're seeing and everybody's listening to what you have to say. It's fabulous. And they're paying for their own lunch.
Exactly.
When you're networking and you take somebody out to lunch, you get to pay the bill. This way they're paying for your lunch, you know?
Absolutely. So I think some of the best ways to turn speaking into money when you're not getting paid a fee for speaking itself are, you know, I think you mentioned it, maybe it was before we actually started recording, but to speak for free, but then to find a way to follow up with your audience members who are interested. In marketing terms, we would call that sort of the beginning of the marketing funnel, where you are finding ways to keep in touch with people over time and introduce your services or your products that you have to offer. So speaking for free and then keeping in touch with people afterwards, I think, is a fantastic way. Selling services, go ahead.
And if you don't mind me just inserting mm-hmm. a little commercial here, is that in our course, Speaking Fortunes Formula, which is part of our professional and elite membership programs, when we do take people through some training where we help them figure out when to make certain offers and how to create an irresistible offer and how to figure out what to offer when you're doing a talk, depending on the length of the talk and where it is and so on, just to let people who are more interested in that. And you may also, I don't know, do you offer that type of a service as well? I'm not sure.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't, but I think yours sounds fabulous because it's a special skill to be able to make offers in a way that makes the audience want to leap out of their chair and take advantage of them. It requires certain skills and knowledge to build up that excitement. So I love that you have a course to train people on doing that. I see a number of professional speakers who I don't quite understand how important it is to have a system and a process for follow-up and for eventual path to sales.
Oh, so, it's critical. It is critical. Yes. You know, one of the things that I say to my speakers all the time is that if all you're doing is showing up with a great talk, you just blew a fortune, because a lot of times people think that the talk is the most important part of what they're going to do. And in fact, it's important. What you're going to say, your contact, your delivery is important. But the work that you do in advance and the follow-up that you do afterwards, that's where your opportunity really is in the whole big scheme of things. If you do a great job following up and you've really planned your offers, you know, appropriately to suit the target market, now you've got a business. Now this is a real marketing strategy. And if you're really clear about using speaking as a marketing strategy, as I'm sure you are, you want to be able to begin that relationship. What you're doing with your speaking is you're opening up the opportunity for a relationship you want to have, even if it's something, the next thing is free. Maybe it's a webinar or a template or, some type of a thing to allow people who are interested in hearing more about what you have to say, giving them an opportunity to get more from you. And speaking of that, Laurie, I'm sure that we've got many speakers who would love to get more from you. So I hope that when we get to the end of this podcast today, you're going to give us some way that our speakers can connect with you and some tips from you about how to build their business through speaking. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so great. So from the kinds of talks that you've done and that you've seen other people that you've worked with do people typically, are they typically selling services, or do they typically have products, or have you seen a mix of both?
I've seen a mix of both. So I've seen people who have services. So let's say a web design company, they might do a talk on, mistakes to avoid in your web design that turn your customers off. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they are a web designer. So they're hoping that people who are in this audience really got a lot of value from what the speaker was saying and will then, contact them, follow up with them if they need web services. So service-based providers have a great opportunity to gain new business through speaking by showing off their knowledge and their point of view. I've seen other speakers, though, who have products. Often it's someone who's in the personal and professional development realm, coaches, things like that. They might have, books or programs that they sell, sometimes even in the back of the room. And there are a few speakers who make money from speaking through sponsorship. They have an organization sponsor them, and that then pays for their time while speaking.
Right, right. And so just to add a little bit of content as well for people who are listening to this and thinking, well, if I am a web design company, what potentially could I use as an irresistible offer? Or if I am a coach and maybe I don't have a product, what could I use as an irresistible offer? So just quickly, as you were talking, I was thinking the web design company may offer a free look at their website to give them a website evaluation. That would be an irresistible offer that they would then be able to continue that relationship and identify people in the audience that were interested. A coach might offer a strategy session for people who are interested, a free strategy session, which would give them an opportunity to evaluate the client and see if they wanted to move forward. So there's always something that you can do. And the problem, as we've both said, is for most people, they don't make any offer. And that's a really big mistake. You got to make an offer if you want people to move with the next step with you. I mean, just to end your talk and have done a great talk without having thought through the offer and having a way to capture people's information and take them to the next step, you're missing out on a big opportunity.
That's it, exactly. So many people don't have a solid planned system for follow-up. So they leave an event, they might have some business cards stuffed in their pocket, but then they get back to the office and they're busy and weeks go by and they haven't followed up with anyone. It's an opportunity completely missed.
Yep. So tell me, where can people who want to start speaking find places to speak? I mean, obviously we invite a lot of our meeting planners come to Free Speaker Bureau and actually look for speakers, and they post some of their events, but obviously there's a lot of other places. So where would you recommend that people, if they want to find places on their own to speak, where would you recommend they go?
I think when you're getting started speaking, I think you need to find as many opportunities as you can, and really to get, we're on the same page, really to get out and speak as often as you can in order to figure out where your target audience is, what messages they respond to, and to go to the next level, which is what offers will have people, excited about the idea of you contacting them after the speaking event.
Exactly.
So I advocate people do everything they can, register for freespeakersbureau.com. And then there are a number of different places that you can go when you're first starting out. I have a blog post on my website. It's called 17 Ways to Find Speaking Opportunities. But if you just Google how to find speaking opportunities, you'll find it. It's far and away the most popular post on my site. So some of the places that you can go are local service clubs like Kiwanis, Lions Club, Chamber of Commerce, Rotary. These organizations meet regularly, so they're always trying to find speakers for their meetings. And it's a great place. You often have friends or neighbors or colleagues who are members of these groups. If you start putting the word out that you want to do speaking, some of these opportunities will come to you.
And one of the things I really recommend, the great, great advice, one of the things I really recommend, because we get a lot of organizations coming to our website looking for people, and I don't know whether you're aware that we have a rating and review system, so organizations can actually come and review speakers and give them ratings, give them stars. This is really important to do. It's really important to build up some credibility with that, because when somebody has 10 or 12 reviews on the website with, 3+ stars, it's so easy for us to convince a meeting planner to bring that person on. And these can then be bigger events. But when they're just getting started, the meeting planner wants to make sure that the person, is going to be good, especially if it's their event, it's their reputation. So if you can get out at least initially and start speaking at Kiwanis and Rotary and so on and get those people to come and review you, then it's going to really have a domino effect, and we're going to be able to get you more and more and more speaking opportunities. And for those of you who do have experience and haven't used your reviews and ratings on the bureau, make sure you go back. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have been booked through the website to get an organization to come in and review you. But it's really one of the ways that meeting planners can have a lot more comfort. Even when you ask your neighbors or friends, unless they've seen you speak, there's a sort of a resistance because they don't know how you're going to be. Right. But if you get out there and do the initial groundwork, and I really think that, speaking is the most, I'm biased, definitely. It's the most powerful strategy to build your business. And I have made hundreds of thousands of dollars in one free speaking gig. I tell a story of speaking to a group of 36 professional women a few years ago. I made over $200,000 from that event because of the contracts that I got. And I'm sure that there's many other people who've had the same experience. But the point being that this is a long-term strategy. Yes, you can get, if you go and do a speaking opportunity tomorrow, you can get clients tomorrow. But you need to think about this not just in the short term, but for the long term. In terms of a long-term strategy, it is worth the time and effort to do some of the groundwork to get the initial smaller local speaking opportunities. Really build your reputation, because in the long term, I mean, this is sustained. I became a coach in the mid 90s, and I built and sustained a successful coaching practice in the top 10% of my niche for the last 20 years. And that's out of free speaking opportunities. That's how I've done it. Because let me tell you, I am not a networker, but I'm very introverted, actually. And I, networking makes me cringe, to be honest. So unless I'm the speaker. So, I have to tell you, it's really, really powerful. It's worth spending your time and energy on.
Oh, I love that you made that point that speaking is a long-term business strategy. I think that's brilliant for people to keep in mind. And I love that you offer the review services. I wasn't aware of that, but, speakers are they're always taught to get testimonials, but you offering the review services on your Speakers Bureau site just makes it so much easier than having to go and ask someone for a testimonial and then follow up with them and get the testimonial and then put it on your own website.
Right.
Instead,
right.
you can have it all right there.
Right. And in fact, we have two different ways that people can actually get reviews. One is from the organization itself, which goes directly onto the website. And then another way, which is if you can put your client list or the list of attendees, it can be just basically endorsing you. And then that's a reputation builder that you can then stream onto your website. So there's a lot of ways that you can do that, because we think that building your reputation is critical to being positioned as an expert. Because really, I mean, you know, we're a free speaker bureau and we're wanting to help people promote themselves through speaking. But really what we're doing is trying to give people the expert advantage and through speaking, through helping, showing them how to get publicity and building content and really then monetizing. So Laurie, what are some quick or easy ways that speakers can make themselves stand out and get selected for more opportunities, more speaking opportunities, more, you know, just more publicity? How can they stand out from the other people that are in their niche?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. It sounds like you have some information on that as well, but I would just want to say, when someone hears your name, they hear about you as a potential speaker, what is the first thing that they do?
They Google you.
Yes, exactly. They Google you. And so what comes up when they Google your name is very important to that meeting organizer deciding whether you might make a good speaker for their next group event. So whatever you can have up there that reflects well on you is important. You know, building your digital footprint.
Mm.
So, you know, being interviewed on podcasts and radio shows like this one, that's fantastic. And it's easier to do than I think a lot of people think it is. Publishing a few good articles or guides on your website. And I'm a contrarian. I don't believe that you need to write 500 to 200 word blog posts. You know, some people used to advise that for mm-hmm. search engines, but I think all you need is a few good solid pieces of content. So the blog post that I mentioned about ways to find speaking opportunities, that was published years ago, but every single day it's still the web page that gets the most traffic on
wow.
my site. So just a few good pieces. Video, of course. Your LinkedIn profile is a place some speakers, I think, overlook as far as how you can use that to present yourself as a speaker. And then my favorite one, and it sounds like you might use this too, is using some of the free media opportunities like Help a Reporter Out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that one?
I am. Yes, I'd.
Okay, good.
I've been in a while because that is a great one. That's a
yeah,
great one.
So Help a Reporter Out, or HARO, is a free service that you can sign up for, and it will deliver an email 3 times a day of opportunities of journalists, of bloggers, even some podcast hosts who are looking for experts who can give advice in certain areas. And some of them are just looking for someone who's had a particular experience and can comment on that. There are a few tricks to getting good results from HARO, and some of the tips are to respond very, very quickly and to give the journalist or blogger exactly what they're asking for. So those are a couple of quick tips, but that's a great place.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If you were considering a couple of speakers, you'd probably be more impressed by the one who was mentioned in Forbes than someone who's not.
Absolutely. No question about it. Because when I found you through, I guess I read an article, and that's where I got to know you. And so, I mean, there are literally a gajillion people that I could interview on a webcast, but you were by far on this topic because of where I think I saw you in Fortune or Forbes or somewhere like that. You immediately had that credibility that made me say, yes, this is somebody that our speakers would want to definitely hear from. You're walking your talk, and I like that a lot. I think it's really important. Very important. So the just to mention that for our speakers again, it was helpareporterout.com and Caro, right?
Yeah, I think it's helpareporter.com, but if you just type help a reporter out in Google, it will come up. You'll find the service.
Okay. And Haro is H-A-R-O?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, that's excellent advice. Okay, Laurie, so tell us about your freebie that we can get, because I want more.
Great. I love that. I have a free list of tips, and it's called 97 Ways to Build Your Fame Factor. And this is a digital download you can get when you go to my website. You can go to famousinyourfield.com/97ways.
Okay. And I will make sure we have this on the website as well. But just in case you're listening to this through iTunes, it's famousinyourfield.com/97ways. But I believe as soon as you go to Famous in Your Field, you'll see a place to download that.
Absolutely. Yes. It's all over the website.
Okay, fantastic. Is there any, Laurie, you've been a wonderful guest. Is there anything else you'd like to add, anything additional that you want to say?
I want to echo what you've said earlier, Mandy, which is speaking is such a great strategy for building business that I think everyone who wants to be known as a leader or an expert in their industry should use speaking in order to get their name out there.
And I believe you do a little bit of coaching with organizations and with people and helping them position. How would you describe the services that you actually offer, Laurie?
I do some content development for people. So people who need a little help, say, creating their even their talks sometimes. Because sometimes it's hard for people who have deep knowledge on a subject to come at it with a beginner's mind. So I'm able to help them kind of shape their presentations. I also sometimes work with people who want to become well known, but they're just not sure what to do. They're overwhelmed by all the different opportunities out there. I help them sort through and come up with a step-by-step plan.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Well, I encourage everybody who is interested in hearing more from Laurie, who wants some tips on building their fame factor, to go to Laurie's website, famousinyourfield.com, and download her 97 ways to build your fame factor, and reach out to Laurie. She's been a fantastic guest, and she obviously knows a lot about using speaking and other media to increase your fame factor and really get known in your niche. I want to thank Laurie for taking the time to be here with us today. Laurie, thank you so much for your time and energy. We certainly appreciate it at Free Speaker Bureau, and we'd love to have you back again. Maybe one day you can come and actually do a webinar for us.
I would love to, Mandy. I love to teach.
All right, wonderful. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is Mandy Bass from freespeakerbureau.com, where we connect you to meeting organizers and events. Stay tuned, and we'll be seeing you soon.